everyone, and welcome back to the Walking Dead series by The Verdict Sin. I'm your host, Nicole.
I'm Gary.
And today we are talking about The Walking Dead Season 6, Episode 10, entitled The Next World. It was written by Angela Kang and Corey Reed, who has worked on The Walking Dead, Terriers, and Corey Reed has worked on Medium and Da Vinci's Demons.
Okay.
And it was directed by Carrie Skoglin, who has worked on Fear the Walking Dead, Penny Dreadful, and Power.
Wow.
Nice resume.
Nice resume.
Yeah. All right, so before we get into our recap, what did you think overall of the episode, Gary?
I still feel the same way. It was an excellent episode. It was kind of slow, but it wasn't. You know, it felt like nothing really happened. It was short, but a lot happened in that little bit of time.
Right.
Which was a lot of time.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. I like the episode, though. I thought it was funny at some points, and The Walking Dead is not really good about bringing humor into the show, and I thought they did a really good job in bringing humor this episode. I mean, it almost went to the point of a little too funny, but it was funny enough, so I enjoyed the episode, and of course, the Rishon situation just will keep me happy for the rest of the week. I just love that, so yeah. All right, so if this is your guys' first time listening to our podcast, the way it works is we discuss our likes, our dislikes, and then we have any listener letters, and then we do an award and a prediction. First on our likes, and I kind of mentioned it in our instant cast, is Denise trying to get Tara's drink for her. It was kind of sweet, you know, she tried to play it cool, but of course she obviously cared.
Yeah, it was cool.
And we're getting to know her a little better. We're seeing her character. She's opening up a little more to Rick's crew. And
yeah.
People are actually paying attention to people when they talk rather than just shutting them up or looking at them crazy when they make crazy requests such as orange soda.
Well, she's the only doctor there.
Yeah.
So get her whatever she wants.
Get her whatever she wants. She's better than the last one who was always drunk.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Denise is turning out to be a good doctor. I liked it, but I just like seeing her and seeing that she cared enough about Tara.
Yeah, she's trying to get brownie points.
Right. Even though I'm thinking this is the apocalypse, so it is sort of different than regular life, but I was like, who dreams about soda? Like, I've never had a dream about soda. Have you? Well, I don't think I've had a dream about food.
Maybe if you haven't had it in a long time.
Okay.
Like, it's probably been a while since you had a soda.
Okay. Because I've never even dreamed about food, I don't think. That's not something you dream about. You dream about, like, winning the lottery or something like that.
I dream about food.
Okay.
All the time.
Really? Okay. All right, so Rick playing the music at the beginning of the episode was sweet. It just kind of showed him and Daryl having a lot of fun with each other. But I like that scene of him playing the music, which we have the name of the song. It was called Action Packed, and it's by Ronnie D. Dawson.
See, I like Daryl's reaction to Rick playing the music.
Uh-huh.
Daryl's like, oh, no, you know, I don't want to hear this crap.
Not this again.
Not this. And I feel the same way. You know, every time we go on a road trip, Nicole want to play every single Beyonce CD available.
I love Beyonce.
And then at some point, you know, I just want to break the radio.
Right. Well, I kind of thought of The Martian, because in the movie The Martian, he only had disco music to play, and he was kind of getting tired of it, but that's all he had to play. But at this, I was thinking about it, at this point, don't they have access to, like, a whole bunch of stores or wherever? Like, it seems like they would have been able to pick up a different CD or multiple CDs at a time. You know, they're passing cars all the time. Cars have to have CDs in them.
Right.
But either way, maybe that's all they had that wasn't scratched or whatever the case was, so.
Maybe that was the first thing to go.
What, the CDs?
Yeah, during the zombie apocalypse, you know, everybody like, oh, no, I got to get my favorite CD.
Everyone make sure, but still, if they got their favorite CD, it would be in someone's car.
Yeah.
All right, so this week we met a new favorite character. I have a feeling he's going to be a favorite character.
Nicole's favorite character.
I already love him. I see online a lot of people love him. I like his personality. I think he's super cool. That is Jesus, or a.k.a. Paul Rovia, a.k.a. Jesus.
See, he kind of makes my dislike list.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, when we get to dislikes, I would love to hear what you disliked about him.
Just everything.
Okay. I think I had one thing to dislike about him, and it wasn't even really him. It was more of the show. But when he sets that trap for Rick and them, I really liked it. And then even before he sets the trap, when, because I, like, this is how clueless I was. I still didn't realize it was a trap until they're like, oh, he took your keys. Because even when Rick and Daryl went back there and the firecracker's going off, I'm like, what is that about?
But, you know, I told you.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't remember you telling me.
Yeah, when they first start going around back, I said, he's about to take the truck.
Oh, I didn't even know that. No, I didn't even see it coming. I still didn't even know it was a trap until it was, like, clearly that it was a trap. But when Jesus also said to him, he's like, they're like, are you on your own? He's like, I'm on my own, but best not to try anything still. Like, kind of give him a warning. He kind of let him know ahead of time before he whipped their ass that he could whip their ass.
Yeah. Yeah, he gave him a warning.
Yeah.
You know, that was nice of him.
It was nice of him. He tried to warn him.
Yeah.
Next we have is kind of some of the small details, and I'm going to have to credit this probably to the writing or maybe even to the directing. And Gary kind of pointed out when we were watching, I believe the second time, is at the beginning of the episode, it comes on and Rick's making a little nether hole in his belt loop.
Yeah.
And throughout the episode, they mentioned how food is scarce. We see Eugene talk about it. Denise talks about it. They talk about it.
They're running out of food.
They're running out of food. I mean, they mentioned, I think, the first half of the season that all the food before, when Spencer had to shut things down, you know, the food was expiring. They only had a little bit amount of food left.
Right.
But so I like that small detail that they gave us, that showing Rick's belt, you know, he has to tighten it in a little because he's losing weight. He's super small. And then also, finally, 6 seasons in, Rick has finally stopped wearing his wedding ring. And it showed that just sitting there next to his watch and everything.
Yeah.
So it was just a small detail. And I think that us showing that him not having that wedding ring at the beginning of the episode probably should have let us know that we know he was ready to move on because we've seen him kiss Jesse.
Yeah, he already moved on.
But this was a sign that he really was ready to move on because now that wedding ring had finally come off. Because when he was kissing Jesse, he still had that wedding ring on.
Oh, that's disrespectful.
Yeah, it is. So
disrespectful.
I like that small detail that they gave us there with the wedding ring and the belt. And then even kind of with Jesus saying, best not to try anything. Like, just, you know, small details. So they did an excellent job writing this episode. And as we already mentioned, the humor this week was brilliant. It was like not ha 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 laugh out loud, but it was like, ha, I like that. You know, that was kind of cool. And this scene next is when they finally tackle Jesus down after he stole their truck, which I did not see coming. They're pretty badass when they ran after a truck. Who runs after a truck?
Who runs that long of a distance?
Right.
They had to run like 3-4 miles.
Do you think they ran that far?
Yeah, they have a lot of stamina.
Yeah.
A lot of it.
Yeah. They've been on the run for so long. You can't survive in the zombie apocalypse.
Right.
You know.
Because while we were watching, I was like, dog, I'm not ready.
Right.
If something happened tomorrow, I'm just so out of shape.
Yeah. You get tired after like a few minutes.
Yeah, like I have a gym membership, but damn, I ain't been in 3 months.
Right. Same here. So, yeah, I thought that was kind of cool when they ran after the truck. But the funny part of it was when they finally tackled Jesus. First, he fights him. He beats their ass, which was pretty damn awesome. But then when they pull their gun out on him, he goes, do you even have any ammo? And then Rick and Daryl at the same time shoot the zombies that were coming.
Yeah.
That was pretty badass.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was cool. And it showed you how in sync Daryl and Rick are, kind of, at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, this episode was kind of like a good cop, you know, those buddy cop shows or cop movies.
Right.
It was kind of like that, but on a show level. And then you also kind of thought it was cool when he's like, you know, I'm not a bad guy. And then Rick's like, but what about us? You don't know what we are.
Yeah. Yeah. Rick looked at him and said, well, do you know anything about us?
Right.
Oh, yeah. That was badass.
Yeah.
Rick was like, yeah, don't try us.
Right.
Which we see Jesus did at least a couple more times.
Yeah. He didn't really give a fuck. He just kept trying him.
Yeah. Jesus is like one of them little annoying brothers that just won't leave you alone. You know, you just keep pushing him down, beating him up, but he keeps coming back.
Kidding back up.
Yeah.
All right. So we have Michonne and Spencer this week, and she follows him through the woods. And there's a few things. I mean, I like that scene. I liked her following him. But at the same time, it's kind of weird. It's like, do people not get privacy anymore in the zombie apocalypse? Like, if he wanted to go out in the woods, let him go out in the woods.
Well, I'm pretty sure she was trying to make sure he was safe.
Okay.
because it's still dangerous out there. And just because he got all kill him up and all that last episode with him, you know, he handled his business. Just because he did that doesn't mean he's ready.
Right.
Well, to be on his own.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure that Michonne heard the story about the guys out there.
The one that Daryl ran into, Negan's people.
Negan's people. So you have to be on guard at all times. Because Negan is still out there.
Yes, he is. I don't know when we're going to hear from him. Maybe a week or 2 weeks. I don't know. Maybe like maybe they won't even show Negan until the end of the season. We'll have to see. Even though I'd rather them show him like in 2 to 3 episodes. But we'll see. But Michonne telling Spencer, you know, you still have a family. You still have a home. Like, why do you think I'm out here following you? It's not because I want to. It's because I care about you, kind of. I thought that was sweet and it was meaningful. And it's, once again, just bringing that Alexandrian people into Rick's crew. Like, eventually we won't call them Alexandrian people. We won't think of Denise as Alexandrian people.
Yeah, we'll think of them as our people.
Our people. Although, I will say that the Alexandrian people are becoming Rick's people faster to me than, like, Abraham, Rosita, and Eugene.
Shut your mouth.
No, I'm serious. Like, I still have not gotten used to their characters.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I still just look at them as that trio.
I don't remember the group without them. I mean, I do. You know, yeah. I do. But I don't.
Okay, maybe it's Eugene and Abraham. I'm okay with Rosita, but I just, Eugene and Abraham, I don't know, I don't think I'll ever really get used to them.
I don't know, Eugene is one of the most likable characters.
Eugene?
He's entertaining.
Okay. Next on our list, though, is Jesus fake sleeping once they finally did tackle him and, you know, and they bring him back home and they're talking. I swear he's fake sleeping.
I don't think he was faking.
You don't think so?
No, he just got hit in the head.
I don't know. It just seemed too coincidental. He seemed like he was fake sleeping in that scene. Like, the whole time I was thinking he was... I don't think he's dangerous or anything like that, but I think he's fake sleeping. Like, I can't even think of a comparison, but I think he's fake sleeping because he figured, okay, they're going to take me back. If I wake up now, then they'll know that I'm okay. But if I'm still sleeping, then maybe these people are decent and they'll take me back and give me shelter, which is what they did.
Yeah, I wouldn't have.
I don't know. You kind of want somebody that can whoop ass like that on your team. And like so Daryl said earlier.
We have plenty of ass kickers.
Yeah, but okay, he had the chance to kill Daryl and he didn't. He saved him instead. So you kind of know he's a decent guy.
I hope he's decent.
Yeah. All right, so we have Michonne once again giving another pep talk, this time with Carl. And I have some things to say about Carl when we get to that. But I like that she's... Well, we saw Michonne, I think back in season 3, whenever we got that flashback of her. No, probably season 4, when she, you know, a flashback of her family, her baby, and everything like that. And she's been so... She's had a shelter up, a wall up. And we've been slowly seeing that wall come down. And... Finally, true, we see her, you know, hug Carl, and we saw her last week kiss him on the head, and they're just kind of telling each other, yeah, we're hard, we're hardcore here, but I love you, you're family to me, and if something were ever to happen to you, I would put you out just like I would want you to put me out.
Right.
So it's almost like she's becoming Carl's stepmom. Like, even if her and Rick didn't, like, hook up, I kind of thought of her as Carl's, kind of like the mother role for him.
Yeah, she's been playing mommy.
Yeah. I mean, even with baby Judith, you see her taking care of baby Judith and watching her like a proud mom on the monitoring screen.
Yeah. And are they staying in the same house?
Yeah. I think everyone else has slowly moved out. But I know for sure Rick, Carl, Michonne, and baby Judith live in the house.
Okay.
Because when the episode started, Rick was getting dressed and Michonne had her little nightgown on.
Yeah, peeking in the room.
Mm-hmm. A little silk nightgown.
Yeah.
I thought Rick was going to kind of like rub off on her then, but then they only just did the little high five, so.
I still think it's too soon.
Too soon for Lori or too soon because of Jesse? For Rick.
Yeah, since Jesse. You know, he fell in love with Jesse in those 3 days.
I did not get that though. But apparently on The Talking Dead, they said it's been 2 months, and we'll discuss that because that's actually on our dislikes list. And then finally, on our likes list, of course, is the biggest moment, and that's the Rick and Michonne moment. That I liked it from the moment they both sat down on that couch and Rick showed her, hey, I wasn't able to get your toothpaste, but I got you some breath mints. From the moment they sat on the couch and they started conversating with each other, I just loved that scene. I thought it was excellent.
I thought it was okay. You know, I'm not into that Walking Dead lovey-dovey. You know, I just want to see action. And I think a relationship by them is going to kind of mess up the action.
You think so?
Yeah, it always happens like that.
I don't know. We've had Glenn and Maggie for so long, and they've been doing well. And before Bob was killed, him and Sasha were doing good.
But you know, Michonne and Rick are both alpha. They're both top dog. Michonne's not going to be submissive to Rick. And Rick is not going to... I don't see it. I can see it getting bad from here.
Why would she need to be submissive to Rick?
I mean, I can see them just hating each other, just arguing. Arguing while they're in the woods. Just an argument every day.
I watched Judith all last night, damn it. Where were you?
Right.
Okay. Okay, it might turn into
that love-hate relationship.
That love-hate, okay.
You just hate to see each other.
Right. Well, I hope it doesn't go that route.
Why don't you go kill them walkers over there?
Right. Why are you always trying to kill my walkers? No, I don't think it will go that route. I think they have such a good level of respect for one another. I think the relationship will pretty much continue as is. Now there will just pretty much be some kissing and lovemaking in between all the zombie killing and people killing. But when they were talking about their day with each other, I liked it because it just seemed like it was already that relationship. They were already in a relationship before they established that it was a relationship. You know, they come home, they're both tired. How was your day? Oh, you don't even want to know. How was yours? Same here. You know, I mean, it wasn't like that, but that's how that conversation went. I just liked it. It seemed very natural. And then even with them kissing, and it was, from what I could tell, what most of the audience wanted and were expecting eventually. So I really liked and appreciated the scene. All right, so that's it for our likes. Now on to our dislikes. And surprisingly, we don't really have that many dislikes this episode. It was pretty good. It was really nothing to nitpick about unless you want to nitpick. But I just have a few dislikes, and I think you don't agree with all of them, so let's just go through them. My first dislike, it was not even really that big of a dislike, but Walking Dead needs to get consistent with some of this stuff, and I think wardrobe is definitely important. We saw this week, Daryl was sleeveless. Rick had his sleeves rolled up. We saw Michonne, she was sleeveless as well. But then we meet Jesus. He has a good 3 layers of clothes on. He has a Scully cap, a long-ass leather jacket, and boots and gloves, and then even the little thing around his face or whatever he had.
Well, I think Jesus is always on the go. Like, he doesn't have a home, no steady place to be at. So while he's walking, it's probably easier for him to put all his clothes on.
I could see that, and I could probably believe that, but remember, Rick mentioned how clean cut he was. So he obviously has somewhere to go if he's able to shave.
Well, he's probably bouncing place to place. Like, he probably just got clean cut and washed up at a gas station they were at.
Okay. It just seems like if it's warm enough for Daryl to have no sleeves, but he has like 3 layers of clothing on, that leather jacket.
You know, Daryl also have a home. He could just put on a different outfit the next day.
But Daryl never does. Daryl never changes clothes, really. So I don't know.
Maybe they're sticking to the comic book.
Maybe.
You know, in the comic book, you know, everybody has the same clothes on all the time.
Right.
You know, Rick may wear the same thing. Daryl, you know, they might think we don't recognize Daryl if they put him on the Rick outfit.
Right.
You know, it might confuse us.
Well, I also thought it was funny because that long-ass jacket, it seems like that's an accident waiting to happen. Like, Jesus was doing flips, kicking cut, all these kung fu moves. I'm like, you don't trip over your jacket yet? Like, I don't know.
Well, that maybe was his outfit in the comic book also.
Okay.
And I mean, what if they put different clothes on Daryl? Like, they put long sleeves on him. You might not even recognize Daryl. You might say, oh, there's Rick and Michonne, but who's that new guy?
No, you'll recognize Daryl.
Who's that new guy right there with the long sleeves on? See, they got to put the vest on him.
Okay. All right, so we get Deanna as a walker this episode.
did not like the scene at all.
Right. Now, tell me why you didn't like the scene.
It wasn't real. Oh, look, I was about to say realistic. I feel crazy. I feel crazy saying
what's,
this.
What's realistic and what's not.
Right.
During The Walking Dead.
But it's not in a Walking Dead rule book. I mean, when the walkers, when she was upstairs ready to kill the walkers, they were coming at her. I think the walkers would have tore her apart.
Right. Same here. Because we saw the walkers, when there was a whole bunch of walkers, they tore Nicholas apart. They tore, what was the little boy that died? The boy that died when Nicholas was a punk or whatever. The guy from Everybody Hates Chris? Noah.
Noah, yeah.
We saw him die and get torn apart. I mean, there's nothing left. We saw Aiden die and get torn apart. So what, Deanna, they just one bitter and walked away? You know, and we saw her. She was right there screaming. So the only way I can think is how she became a walker like that rather than just torn apart. Is she ran back in the room and closed the door.
Well, actually, I have somebody that said something about that.
Okay.
But I'll wait. I'll wait till we get to the...
The listener letter.
Right.
Okay. I just really... I don't know. Even if... Because I was thinking, even if she ran back in the room and closed the door, a walker can't open the door. Walkers don't know how to open doors. You know? If you saw a walker opening the door, that would be, like, super weird and freaky. Already on a whole nother weird and freaky level.
You know what? Walkers can open the door. Because remember in the very first episode when Morgan saved Rick? Remember when Morgan was inside his house, his wife came up and she was trying to open the door.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. You know what? Walking Dead has had different like executive producers and different writers. So they change stuff up so many times, which is probably why we're questioning their inconsistency. Because... Also, remember when Rick was hiding in that bed, I think under the bed in season 4 when they went in that house? Those whole people that tried, the people that tried to rape Carl, remember that's how they found them? Those guys?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Remember when Rick killed the guy in the bathroom, he left the bathroom door open so the guy can get out. And that's why all the time the doors are always been closed because it's like walkers can't get out because the doors are closed. Like, even last season when Daryl and Carol were together at the shelter, you know, the battered woman's shelter place, and they saw a walker woman and a walker kid, and it's like they couldn't get out of there because the door was closed.
See, I just don't think they stay consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Because also in the first season, or this could have been the second season, when Rick and Carl were hiding in the house when Rick was, I think he was hurt for some reason. Remember, he had to push the sofa up against the door. It was closed. He had to push the sofa against the door.
That was the same season. That was season 4.
Okay.
But I don't know if they did that for walkers or for human beings.
I'm pretty sure it doesn't matter what you push against the door. A human being can go through the window. I think it was for walkers.
Well, a walker could go through the window then.
No, I don't think walkers got that advanced yet.
Okay, I don't know.
Where they just open the windows and creeping through it.
No, I mean, I wouldn't say open the window, but if they just kept... Pushing the window, and then breaking it eventually, and then dropping in through the window or whatever.
Oh, that's doing too much.
Okay.
All right, let's get back to topic.
All right. So either way, we're saying we are both agreeing that Deanna should not have been able to have been a walker.
Right.
However, I will say I did like the suspense of it. I didn't see it coming when we saw Carl and Enid in the woods, and Carl was being an asshole. I didn't know why he was being an asshole and why he did not want to kill the walker. Like, it still didn't register to me until I actually saw Deanna. I was like, oh, I get it. It's all coming together. I was like a little slow Sunday night because I didn't catch anything that you probably should have caught. It was just like, oh, I didn't see it until it actually happened. So,
yeah.
And then finally, dislike, and this is, I don't even know what to blame. The show, the character, whatever the case is, but I don't like Carl's attitude.
Why not?
He's a rude, disrespectful little boy. Like, at the beginning of the episode...
I disagree.
Really?
I disagree.
At the beginning of the episode, when Michonne calls him, he's like, what? I'm like, who talks to an adult that way? Like...
Somebody that got their eye shot out?
No.
Maybe?
No, you don't talk to no adult that way.
You don't think he's just bitter right now?
I don't know. It doesn't matter if he's bitter or not. They need to nip that in the butt right now.
They can't.
Why?
They can't for a while. He can always hold that against them. Hold that over their head. Every argument, I bring up my eye.
How is his eye their fault? If anything, he should be lucky he's alive.
I don't know. That's going to be the card I play.
Okay.
Every argument.
Okay.
Going to end up, no matter what we're talking about. But yeah, but look at my eye.
Well, either I think he was just being a real jerk this week, like with, you know, being rude to his parents or whatever. I'm counting Michonne as a parent. And then also just treating Eden it like shit. Like when she said she didn't want to be out in the woods anymore, he's like, okay, and just gets his stuff and starts walking away. Like he's not being sensitive.
Because I think he probably think that she's being insensitive. Because this is something that he needs right now. Because when he was walking out there, she was like, why are we coming out here? He said, yeah, we're kids. So I think he's ready to go back. You know, he's trying to find his childhood.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know. Either way, he should know.
I mean, he's been through a lot.
Yeah, but so has Enid. I mean, she saw her own parents get killed right in front of her. So I think Enid, at this point, she's just seen so much death. She doesn't want to be out in the woods anymore because she doesn't want to die. She realizes that life is valuable, and she wants to JSS a little bit longer.
I would say both of them are being a little selfish right now.
All right, so that's it for our likes and dislikes.
Wait.
Okay.
Let me go back to Jesus.
Oh, yeah, you had a dislike about him.
Yeah. You know, I started off disliking Jesus because he tried to rob my people. He came in there and he stole the food. We already know that food is scarce. So he's the reason right now we're still hungry in Alexandria. He did that to our food truck.
If he wouldn't have
tried to steal it in the first place, we could have got it back to our people. Well, Rick and Daryl.
Yeah, I'm going to have to actually blame Rick and Daryl for this one. Because
how can you blame the victim?
Well, because they had plenty of chances just to walk away from the Jesus situation. Like, when they saw that he was on their roof, when they knocked him down, okay, keep it moving. This guy obviously is a kung fu ninja. Like, he somehow got out of those ropes in those 25 seconds and jumped on the roof and managed to stay there until he felt like displaying that he was there. I don't know how they figured out. I mean, he was making noise, but yeah, I feel that they were, that whole scene, it was funny, but at the same time, they only have themselves to blame.
No. Because if he wouldn't have took the truck in the first place, none of this would have happened. I mean, I can say that maybe they should have got the truck and took it straight back. But we don't know why they stopped at the gas station. Maybe they needed gas.
Yeah, but they obviously didn't need gas because they never pulled up to the gas pumps.
Maybe Daryl needed that soda or that pop. Let's call it pop.
Yeah. Yeah. But like Denise said, don't go out of your way. She made it very clear. If you happen to see it, fine. Daryl did a lot. He did exactly the opposite of what she told him to do. He was opening it, banging it, tying it up to the tree, truck.
I understand what you're saying, but can we both agree that if Jesus wouldn't have stole the truck in the first place, they would still have the truck?
Yeah, I can agree with you there, but can we both agree that if they would have walked away once they got the truck back, that they would have still had the truck? Daryl getting out and fighting, running after Jesus, doing all that. I mean, it was just a little too much. Like, that was their own fault. Yeah. They should have never even did all that nonsense, and they would have had the truck. Daryl putting the blame on Jesus. Yes, Jesus started it, but it's also, life is always about, not always how people act. It's about how you react to someone's actions. So that's just as important as how someone acts towards you. It's also about how you react towards them. So to me,
we can agree to disagree.
They didn't react good. So that's just my opinion. Okay. Actually, I have two more likes, two more dislikes, and they're just really small. One is, why is Daryl still so dirty? Everyone else is clean, taking showers. We know they don't have toothpaste, but he was dirty when they left Alexandria.
I mean, he's still surviving.
Okay.
He don't want to get soft.
I just don't like that. I'm like, ugh, Daryl, come on.
If Daryl would have took a shower, he wouldn't have been able to run those 5 miles.
No, he would have been able to run those miles more better. And then how did Jesus get loose at the end when he comes up into Michonne and Rick's room? Because Rick mentioned earlier that Daryl was watching him. So did Daryl fuck up? Did Jesus hurt Daryl? Or what happened? Did Morgan come in there and say, let him go?
So let's say Jesus hurt Daryl. Is that still Daryl's fault?
Is it Daryl's fault that Jesus hurt him?
Did Jesus hurt him?
No.
Okay, just checking.
No, that's not his fault. But I just want to see how that goes, or if they're going to even address that next week, or knowing The Walking Dead, they'll just be like, they won't even bring it up how he got loose or whatever.
Come back on. They're all sitting down, have a breakfast.
Right.
Hugging.
2 more months later, everything's good with Jesus. All right. So that's everything for our likes and dislikes. And if you guys would like to be a part of the podcast, you can email us at dead@theverdictsin.com. That is dead@theverdictsin.com. I believe on our instant cast, I said host@theverdictsin.com, which is still a good email. It's just our generic email that we use actually for our American Crime podcast and our People vs. OJ podcast. So if you guys do listen to that show or whatever, you can email us there. But either way, we'll check all the email addresses that you may have heard on previous podcasts. So feel free to email us wherever you feel like emailing us. That's a valid verdicts in email.
All right, we had a dislike about Deanne still being alive, still looking fresh. Well, she's like a fresh zombie, but no bites, you know, hair still laid. Well, Tamara had a theory about that. She was saying that Deanne was bitten a while ago, that she was most likely already dead. Like, remember, she was fevering and everything, and Rick, they thought she was dead, turned to a zombie for a while. So she was saying maybe it's a time period. Maybe that she was bitten so long ago and she was so close to changing or dying that the zombies didn't mess with her. Which, I mean, it could be. Because remember, she was fevering, sweating. She was a walker. But only she was alive.
I see what she's saying. That's a good theory. The only thing that I see wrong with it is that Deanna was, like, screaming. Like, so we know walkers, whenever you start acting like a human being, when Jesse started screaming, for instance, it didn't matter anymore that Jesse had all that walker blood on her. Like, that disguise went away because now she's talking, she's screaming or whatever. So I don't know. I don't think that's what happened, but who knows? That's actually a really good theory, though. I do like that theory.
Yeah, that's a good theory. I mean, it don't explain how she walked out the house,
right.
Walked past the fire. You know, chilled out in the woods for a couple of months.
Walked, yeah, around all those people. All those people have been on duty. Ron and, not Ron, Carl and Enid's been going out there and no one has seen her until now.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't explain any of that, but that's a good theory.
Yeah. All right, and then we also have an email from Yolanda. She wrote, "Hey, Nicole and Gary, sorry I missed you guys last week, but I caught up this morning. Nicole, did you compare Carol to Father Gabriel?"
Mm-mm-mm. Yes, she did.
She wrote, "Girl, bye." Yeah, you're right. I probably was going a little too far with Carol. But Carol kind of, like, she's starting to piss me off. You know, even though she was in this episode, she just needs to change. Her character needs to change. Do the change that Morgan's been talking about. She needs to chill out.
I think Carol is needed.
I'm kind of over Carol.
I think her character is needed.
I mean, I'm still...
Because Carol's on go at all times.
Yeah, and she needs to chill out on sometimes go.
Well, you're forgetting about when she probably was the main reason our city was saved. Our city. Alexandria was saved, you know, from the, what's the W's?
The wolves. The wolves, yeah. Okay.
You know, Carol just reacted.
All right, and Yolanda continued, "Overall, I like this episode. My two quibbles are I shouldn't have to watch Talking Dead to find out 2 months have passed.
Right.
And I don't understand why they didn't go back to Alexandria after they found a truck full of supplies. I get you want to find the pop, but come on. And yes, it's called pop. Don't act like you don't know what it's called." Yeah, we mentioned that. Like, why did we have to watch Talking Dead to find out that it's 2 months later? Like, they could have easily put it on the screen when the show came on.
Yeah, they could have.
Although they did, I mean, you could tell some time had passed, so I guess it really doesn't matter that it was 2 months versus 1 month or whatever. In a way, it kind of does, because we kind of get more understanding what the city's, you know, how long has it been since those Negan people attacked? How long has it been since they've been able to clean up the city? How long has Carl been... his eye been adjusting or whatever, and baby Judith, has she changed? Is she getting older? You know, so I do understand that, and I agree with you there, Yolanda. I think that they could have did a little bit better with explaining how much time had passed. And then pop, no, I don't call it pop. I call it soda.
Yeah, I don't call it pop. I just call it like Coke, Pepsi,
yeah,
Sprite.
She, oh, yeah. And what was that old-time rockabilly music Rick was jamming to? I felt like Daryl looked when it started playing. What the hell?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Gary said, I wasn't feeling it either. I Ain't Fearing Shit goes to Jesus. You see Rick and his lady butt-ass naked, and you still wake them up. That's a brave man walking in on them. Yeah, Jesus is pretty damn brave. Most likely he dies, probably Abraham. The show has
Abraham.
A lot of... Yeah.
Why?
Well, she says the show has a lot of badasses. Rick, Daryl, Carl, Morgan, Glenn, Abraham, and now Jesus. She did not mention Michonne. She probably forgot. But somebody's going to have to take one for the team, and I'm hoping it's Abraham, not Carol. So good to hear you guys again. Looking forward to tomorrow's podcast. Talk to you later, Yolanda.
Thank you, Yolanda.
Thanks, Yolanda. Yeah, I'm going to have to agree on both her prediction and her award.
I'm going to have to pass on both.
Okay. All right. Well, we would love to hear from you guys as well. dead@theverdictsin.com, or you can also hit us up on Twitter @theverdictsin or facebook.com/verdictsin. And now for our awards.
All right. Why don't you start it off?
All right. I Ain't Fearing Shit. I'm going to have to agree with Yolanda. I'm going to give it to Jesus. I thought he was pretty damn cool this episode. His kung fu moves, you know, were pretty awesome. I mean, if you can beat up Rick and Daryl and not even, like, try to kill them or whatever, you're pretty badass. And I look forward to more of his character.
Okay.
What about you? I Ain't Fearing Shit.
I'm going to have to give the I Ain't Fearing Shit to somebody that really deserves it. My I Ain't Fearing Shit goes to Daryl. Because Daryl got his ass whooped by Jesus outside the truck when he's trying to get it back. And do you know this dude had the nerves to jump out the truck at the farm and chase after Jesus?
Right.
So, you know, he wasn't fearing shit.
You just got your ass whooped, but
he was willing to take
go.
Another one.
Yeah.
He was going to take another ass whooping for the team.
Okay.
Now, that's somebody who really ain't fearing shit.
Yeah. All right. It's good to have Daryl back. The action Daryl. So I like Daryl. All right. Most likely to die. I'm going to have to once again agree with Yolanda here.
Wow.
I think it's going to be Abraham. I mean, I used to say Spencer or Abraham. But at this point, that whole conversation that Michonne and Spencer had and him saying, like, eventually this will be home for me is setting up to where Spencer's going to be part of. He's going to be part of the cast. He's going to be here for the long haul.
Abraham is an American hero. He served his country.
Yeah, he did. And we appreciate
him for
that. You're
trying to kill him off? Come on now.
Yeah. I just have a feeling that The Walking Dead, I would love for next week to be about Rosita, Sasha, and Abraham love triangle. But I have a feeling The Walking Dead, instead of doing another love triangle or doing another love story this close to Rick and Michonne's love story, they're going to kill off Abraham, so then they don't even have to discuss the love triangle. Rosita will die thinking Abraham loved her. I mean, excuse me, Abraham will die. Rosita will think he died, that he loved her. And Sasha will know that they never got their chance, and she'll keep it to herself. So that's my prediction. What do you got?
I'm going to have to go back to my ace in the hole. And I'm going to say Glenn. I mean, Glenn done juked us, faked us out so many times. He got to be on the verge of dying.
Okay.
If Glenn gets out of one more, just one more death trap, I'm going to call him the Golden Child.
Okay. You know,
Glenn
I have
is
a
officially
feeling,
the Golden Child.
I have a feeling Glenn, what's going to happen is he's going to get like maybe 1 to 2 more fake outs, and then he's going to end up dying when we least expect it. Like, he's going to end up, like, not even by walker, by human. He'll die by, like,
a fever or something.
A fever. Or he'll, like, go in the water and then he'll end up drowning. I don't know. Something crazy. But we'll see. All right. Well, that is everything. Thank you guys so much for listening. We appreciate it. We'll be back Sunday night with our Instant Cast. I'm Nicole.
I'm Gary.
Good night.
Good night.